Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and to kick off today's show, we're going to talk about soccer with Trevor James, the sporting director for the Detroit City Football Club. It's in its third year as part of the USL Championship. The draft in Detroit has ended, but it leaves a lasting impact on the city and the surrounding area. We'll check in with Faye Nelson, the co-chair of the Detroit Sports Commission Community Engagement Committee, to learn more about the Living Legacy Initiative. And finally, Detroit Public TV is returning to its roots and moving its headquarters back to Detroit. Rich Homburg, Detroit PBS president and CEO, will have all the details on this big announcement. An interesting show about great things happening in and around the D, coming up right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. The Detroit City Football Club is in its third year as part of the USL Championship. This league is the second division of professional soccer in America. This 2024 season is so far the team's best start since joining the USL Championship, and Trevor James, the sporting director for the Detroit City Football Club, also known as Detroit City FC, is on the other end of the line to talk more about Detroit's very popular soccer league. Welcome to the show, Trevor.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
I want you just to talk to our listeners first about Detroit's soccer league. I mean, it's pretty amazing, pretty interesting that we have a team here, and I know it's hugely popular. A lot of people go, but other people don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's, as you say, it's extremely popular with the fan base and obviously people who follow the game. But it's come such a long way in such a short time. So it's got to have a little bit of time for people to catch up, I think. So, you know, the club has been going 11 years now. So, and we've jumped up the leagues as the seasons have gone on. And we are now, as you mentioned, in the second tier of soccer in the United States. And obviously pushing to finish as high as we can in that tier. But it's we say it's the fifth, fifth sport in the
yes,
in the city, because obviously there's the big four, and we're pushing to try to get into that conversation. It'll take us a few more years to get there, I'm sure, but obviously our fan base and the popularity of coming to the games and the events, as I say, because the games have turned into events, really. It's grown in leaps and bounds.
Trevor, how did you get involved with this team? Give us a little background about yourself.
Okay, well, I've been in the game probably all my life as a player and as a coach, and I was brought in 2019, I was brought to the club to head coach and general manager of the team, as we were an amateur team with aspirations of turning into the pros and going professional. So I've had a fair career in professional games. So I was brought in to take the team from the amateur ranks into the professional ranks as the head coach. And I did that for 5 years, and we, obviously worked our way to the USL Championship. And our first 2 years in the USL Championship, as I said, we've only had 2 years in there, and the first 2 years were both very successful, as far as reaching the playoffs and beating the number one seeds and fighting above our weight, really. So that's what brought me to the club. And as I said, as the club has developed and grown, then my role got more to do with overseeing a lot of aspects for the club. So it was thought that I should move to the sporting director role, and we brought in a new head coach.
Oh, that's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about this 2024 team. Sounds like these players are pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done extremely well. I mean, when we first went to the USL Championship, it was, I sort of said that it was a big jump for us, and it would take a 3 to 5 year plan to get us into a position where we could challenge and you know, hold our own against the top teams. And as I said, we're now into year three. And so a lot of our players are still returning from the first year. So they're still with us. So we're still starting at least nine of the players that played last year and the year before. And they've just developed and improved greatly over the 2 years experience they've had in the league. So that's been great. And then we've added some new additions, and they've hit the ground running and really given us a lot more than we probably expected this early. So great start to the season. As I said, five league games in and an Open Cup win. So six wins out of six. So that couldn't get any better.
Where are the players from? Are they from around the United States, around the world?
Yeah, they're from around the world. We have players from South Africa, Senegal, England. I'm trying to think, Canada, obviously United States. So, yeah, it's sprinkled Ghanaian. We have a Ghanaian striker. So it's open, and we scout worldwide, to see if we can improve and bring better quality players into the club. So yeah, and with the fan base that we have and obviously the reach we have in social media and obviously our games are televised all over the place. So, it's fairly much known around the world now as one of the clubs to want to be at. So it's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. How did they like living and playing in the Detroit area?
Yeah, they enjoy it. I mean, I would say I don't think I've had anybody who's not been happy with living in Detroit. They enjoy, as I said, it's a sports town, so they enjoy the other sports and they live close to downtown. So the majority of them live close to downtown. So it's they enjoy the other sports and other events which are going on within the city, and they seem to be very happy with it.
Now, I will confess, Trevor James, that I have never been to a game. However, I have someone here at the radio station, Ron Smirigan. He's the head of our promotions department. He is a huge soccer fan, especially for the Detroit City FC. He tells me all about this, and he describes kind of like a gigantic event for these games. Can you describe this for us, too?
Yeah, it's hard to, because I've tried to do this before, many times, but it's very, it is an event, it's more than a soccer game. I think most people, once they come to a game, they do get hooked, if you like, and have to come back. There's the supporters lay out a great event, a great atmosphere. You're very close, and it's unlike a lot of professional soccer stadiums, that you're very close at Keyworth. You're very close to the fans. You're very close to the sidelines, so you're very close to the players. So it's very intimate. The fan base, obviously, non-stop singing songs, banging drums, smoke, letting off smoke. With every time there's an event, there's smoke being let off. So, it does turn into a bit of a carnival. Obviously, there's food trucks and obviously autograph sessions and that. So it certainly includes the public as much as possible.
It's called Keyworth Stadium in Hamtramck, correct?
Correct.
These games would bring a great deal of economic impact to Hamtramck when you guys play.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, I'm familiar with Hamtramck. It's a very, residential area, and the stadium is sort of like tucked in right between residential properties. So you drive or you walk, through the streets, and then suddenly there's Keyworth Stadium there. But you're right to say that the local businesses certainly get a boost on game days, and they tend to march from the shopping area. So a lot of the stores get a fair bit of business on game days before the fans walk into the stadium. So, yeah, it must bring quite a bit in, I imagine, to the city.
Absolutely. Trevor James, we are talking to the sporting director for the Detroit City FC, the football club. And Trevor, you're a former player. You're now the sporting director. Talk to us about the popularity of soccer in the United States. I think it's getting more and more popular, or it seems to be.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think it is. As I said, every time there's a major event, a World Cup, or a championship that comes, you know, to the country, and obviously the World Cup is the next World Cup. You know, will be held in the U.S. and shared with the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And when you have those events, it obviously heightens everything. So I would imagine it is. I would say I agree with you. It is very, very popular now, and certainly, you know, the attendances of our games. You know, we get 7,000-8,000 people watch our game, you know, on a nightly basis. So with that, and the attendances in the women's games, you know, we've got a women's team which attracts a good crowd. So it's great that everybody is being elevated. And with the World Cup coming, I think it's only going to kick on again from there, and it'll be even bigger after the World Cup.
And you know, you've got so many little kids that play soccer. Your team has to be inspirational for them.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we do so much with the youth, you know, as far as the youth program and city, you know, within the city, and we fund that. And obviously with our games, we make the players very, yeah, very accessible to the fans and to the youth, and you know, with autograph tables and autograph sessions, and they do a lot of appearances where they go to schools and answer a lot of difficult questions from the kids. But we do a lot in the youth community, and obviously that's a big part of where we want to do it.
Trevor James, sporting director for the Detroit City Football Club, known as the Detroit City FC. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about Detroit soccer team.
It's been a pleasure. Anytime.
Coming up next, the draft in Detroit is over, but the impact of this great event will live on for a long time. We'll explain why right after these messages. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. The draft in Detroit has ended, but it leaves a lasting impact on the city and the surrounding area. Faye Nelson, the co-chair of the Detroit Sports Commission Community Engagement Committee, is here now to talk about the Living Legacy Initiative. Faye, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what exactly is the Living Legacy Initiative, Faye?
As we worked about planning for the events associated with the draft, we really thought, we being now the board of the Detroit Sports Commission, we wanted to identify ways in which we could support something that was in support of children and families, that was meaningful, and that had a lasting impact. And so the decision was made based upon a lot of meetings and discussions and conversations with community groups and leaders and listening, that we would support a living legacy effort that specifically was and is focusing on two major pillars, education and literacy, and active play with a focus on girls and sports. Mm-hmm. And wanting to, at the end of the day, launch an initiative that was in coordination with the NFL draft right here in Detroit, but that would have a lasting legacy and that it would continue as it related to our investment, as it related to or relates to the major events that we as a sports commission attract to the city of Detroit and the Detroit area, up to and including the men's 2027 Final Four, NCAA Final Four. So a legacy, our opportunity to really work in partnership with others and making a difference with our children and families in Detroit was our focus, and that's what we're doing today.
Now, this is a $1 million initiative. Very impressive. How was it funded?
So I begin, and thank you for asking that question, because major thanks to our donors. Our donors in the Detroit area have continued to be incredibly generous. And so $1 million was identified and earmarked to support the launching of our Living Legacy Initiative.
I mean, it's very, very impressive. You've got two nonprofit partners. You've got Beyond Basics and Project Play. Talk about both of these partners and how what they will do will make such a difference in Detroit, Faye Nelson.
So, again, based upon the discussions that we had with community, it was clear that literacy was at the top of the list in terms of concerns, priorities, and focus. And so working in partnership with DTSCD, and a major shout out to Alicia Merriweather, who really helped us identify the schools involved. She connected us with the literacy team at DPSCD and helped to identify the best nonprofit that could support our desire to be part of the literacy movement, and that is Beyond Basics. So two schools were identified: Dixon Middle School, which is a feeder school to Cody High School, and the Detroit Lions Academy. And as we speak, children or students, I would say, at both schools are being intensively one-on-one tutored by Beyond Basics. So we're just really thrilled and excited that we can be part of an initiative that can make a difference in our community.
You know, it's really incredible, and you know this from all of the work that you have done in and around the Detroit area, Faye Nelson, that Detroit has the most generous people, I would say, in the world.
They really do. They really do. I mean, the major, you know, philanthropic organizations, our private sector, our private sector presence in our Detroit area, our public sector, it's all about, at the end of the day, how can we coming together, make a difference in the communities where we live and serve. So it's very impressive. It was really exciting. And not just, again, on the literacy front, but on the active play front. Really pleased with Detroit Sports Commission to partner with Project Play, which is a national organization with local affiliates, their focus being on healthier communities. And how do we engage and encourage our children to become more involved in active play? So a partnership with the Community Foundation of Southeast Michigan, the Wilson Foundation, the Aspen Institute has been amazing and fantastic. They have launched in partnership with quite a number of nonprofit organizations that are focused on sports. They've launched a variety of really cool activities that, you know, encourage and bring kids out and involved in such activities as flag football and volleyball and things of that sort. During the draft, we titled Youth Central down at the corner ballpark. There were so many events and activities that took place that involved our children and families and many of our schools. Dixon Middle School was one school that had a great exercise clinic and activities associated with flag football, and bringing girls out involved in that sport was pretty exciting as well. So let me just say that it has been just a thrill, a pleasure to be able to be part of this effort. And while we're so excited, we continue to be excited about the opportunity to showcase our great city. We're equally excited to be able to support our children and families and communities throughout the city of Detroit, throughout the Detroit area. But with regard to the city of Detroit, we focus on the 7 districts in Detroit. And I might add real quickly, we also established a special fund to partner with the Detroit City Council in making grants to small nonprofit organizations in each of the 7 districts in support of the draft activities, in support of their work in the area of literacy and sports. So this has just been beyond cool, and I'm so excited and so really privileged to have been part of this effort.
You know, it seems to me, Faye Nelson, that as the co-chair of the Detroit Sports Commission Community Engagement Committee, you have a front row seat to describe for our listeners how this is life-changing for these kids.
I believe it is life-changing for the kids, but it's certainly our effort is part of a variety of initiatives, many initiatives that are that currently exist in support of our children and families. So what we wanted to do as the Sports Commission is to listen to community. It was to really understand how we could best join in partnership with others to support community. And that's what we've been able to do. And so I think it's just important for our children to know that we care, that they are loved, and that we, the Sports Commission, in partnership with others, will tirelessly work to support them and to provide as best we can an opportunity for their growth and development. So, you know, it's really been a pleasure. And here's the cool part, and I mentioned this earlier, that our efforts are not a one and done.
Right.
That we are continuing, you know, now post-draft, we're continuing to focus on how do we best serve and support our children and families. And as I mentioned earlier, my colleagues on the Detroit Sports Commission Board have agreed that for every major sporting event that the Sports Commission attracts to or brings to the Detroit area, there will be a living legacy component. So it's really great. It's really great. And I really, you know, have to, again, extend my gratitude certainly to our donors, certainly to my colleagues who are all part of the Detroit Sports Commission. We had a fabulous community celebration this past Monday, and Mike Tirico, who is part of our commission, tirelessly worked as the, and embraced our community. He was the MC of our program. It was beyond exciting. And everybody has stepped up, the mayor, the city council. It has been really a labor of love, I will tell you, as we have, you know, been able to and enjoy and celebrate and showcase our great city of Detroit.
Now, Faye Nelson, I know you're going to need a little break, but knowing you, you're always thinking about what's next. What is next for the Detroit Sports Commission? I know there's many more activities coming our way.
Well, certainly what's next for us is we're going to take a break. We're going to take a step back and, you know, you always have to do a real good debrief. What worked? What
right.
didn't work? How do we become better each and every day going forward? But our major focus, our focus will be, among other things, and certainly the Sports Commission team that is pretty amazing in and of themselves,
yes,
will be
is.
Continuing to work to attract events, you know, sporting events to the city of Detroit. But one of the major efforts that we will stay focused on is the continuation of our living legacy effort. So, you know, sitting down, focusing on what we've done, what we're doing, how do we continue to honor our commitment is one of the priority activities that will also take place post-draft.
Faye Nelson, co-chair of the Detroit Sports Commission Community Engagement Committee, thank you so much for your time today. It was great talking to you.
Oh, it was so great talking to you too, Ann. You take good care.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, Detroit Public TV is returning to its roots. We'll get the details right after these messages. I'm Ann Thomas, and you are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Detroit Public TV is returning to its roots and moving its headquarters back to Detroit. Rich Homburg, Detroit PBS president and CEO, has all the details for us on this big announcement. Thank you for joining us today, Rich.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Ann. Nice to speak to you.
Well, I've known you for years, and I'm very excited to actually interview the great Rich Homburg. How cool is this?
I don't know about great, but it's kind of fun to talk to you because, you know, We were competitors for many years, but I was always an admirer. I always got the sense, like, she's a good person. The truth of the matter is we're moving because we want to be close to you guys.
We love We love it.
Oh, God. The Golden Tower of the Fisher Building is just a few blocks where the station will be relocated to.
So where exactly will you be?
We will be at 234 Paquette, which is a full block of land in Milwaukee Junction on the border of the North End, about two blocks from Woodward, two blocks south of Grand, in this spectacular emerging neighborhood that is just coming alive. There's so much going on in your neighborhood and our future neighborhood with MSU and Henry Ford, and the Paquette Plant Museum is there, and it's a wonderful opportunity. And we looked at a lot of places. Our work has brought us back to the center of Detroit and trying to find exactly the right location. Looked a lot of really great possibilities, and then we got a call, a suggestion about this wonderful piece of land, and our CFO Alette Boyd said when she drove up to it, she said, "Oh my God, this is it!" So we're very, very excited about it on many levels.
So, what went into the decision? Can you tell us how long did you think about this, and how long did it take to finally make the decision?
Well, part of it was an evolution to a certain extent. Years ago, 20 years ago, before I joined the station, we were moving towards HD, high-definition television, and there was a need for a new facility, a new building, and we'd outgrown our building on 2nd Avenue. And George Riley made a commitment, and he had a building in Wixom that not only did he introduce us to the building, but he very, very significantly committed to the station. And we bought a 93,000 square foot building in Wixom with tremendous capacity. And the idea was that we might build a facility that would be, get into the production rental business, and they had a lot of possibilities, but it was also 15 miles from the center of Detroit. And then as things progressed, we built at WRCJ, the classical jazz radio station. And we built a bureau, if you will, in Detroit, first at the Historical Museum and then eventually at the Mary Grove campus. And what we discovered was that our future, that television production was really important, but what was monumental for the station was engaging the community. Mm-hmm. And if you know me by now, I don't lack for an ability to call strangers and ask for their help. And to me, Detroit is a face-to-face town. So when I first got to the station, people would say, "Well, if you're going to be in Detroit next week," I'm like, "I'm in Detroit every day. I live in my car. I'm talking to you from my car." And but what we discovered was our real future was about face-to-face engagement and partnerships and really just building very deep relationships around key issues. We talk about a handful of issues we call our pillars, a handful of issues that we needed to be building solutions around with Detroit. And so that's turned into advisory groups and ongoing partnerships and discussions constantly. And we looked up and said, "I think we need a building right in the center, in the heart of the city, that's accessible to the entire region." And so that led us to think about, you know, where the opportunities were, did a lot of looking, and then discovered this great piece of land and have built out a plan for a building that will be about half the size, but will have multiple times the number of video locations, a theater-style studio, wow, a performance space, an outdoor performance space, and knowing Detroiters, really important, 120 parking spots. So it'll be, we would argue it's about, this will be about as accessible and flexible and a building as you'll find in Detroit. And that's our goal.
You know, and I think it's so interesting. You called Detroit, Rich Homburg, the most important city in America. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So I grew up outside of Philly. They're still talking about fife and drum corps. They're still talking about the American Revolution. If you want to understand this country, what city in the country is a better place to study. And not that Detroit is perfect, but if you think about the future of urban America, if you think about diversity, and you know, one of the most diverse cities in the country, if you think about the future of manufacturing or the environment or water, I joke and I kid the folks at PBS, no matter what the project is, I say, well, we're going to need more. Well, why? We're the most important city in America. But is there a city that you could better? You can't learn about America from New York. That's New York. But I don't know about San Francisco. They're nice people. But if you want to understand the heart of this country, think about the Great Migration. Think about the automotive industry and manufacturing our country. But also think about race relations. Think about where education is going. We have challenges, and we're working away on them. And Detroit is, I think, in many ways, in as strong a position as it's been in decades. But we still have a lot of work to do. And so, I think that we should take great pride in the progress Detroit has made and join forces to try to take on the challenges. So, and you know, Detroiters, you're never going to go wrong. That mindset, right. It's funny because people have really, people associate that with me, but Detroiters don't lack for knowing this city is monumentally important.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you've been in the communications business for a very long time. You've seen and covered all the changes in Detroit mm-hmm. over the years. Talk a little bit about what we're seeing now in 2024 with regard to Detroit. They made it through the pandemic stronger than ever. I mean, things look pretty darn good around here in the city of Detroit right now.
Well, maybe football and the Lions and Michigan draft helps turn up the volume.
Yes.
But really all it does is help turn up the volume on the progress the city has made.
Right.
I think, you know, there's no doubt. Think about the diversity of our town, but still think about segregation, but think about the progress. When you look at step by step, Detroit has taken ownership of some very important issues and has come a long way. And so I got here 28 years ago. I did Leadership Detroit. I learned a lot about the city. The first thing I learned was that Detroiters are very specific. You know, be careful with our history.
Yes.
This is an important place. How did you come to be here, Mr. Hamburg? I remember people would say, so where'd you go to school? And I thought they meant college. And I went to Temple University, no, high school. And it really struck me, the part of Detroit, Detroit soul that says, do you see me?
Yes.
Do you understand me? Be careful with my history. Do you understand the challenges we face? And I just got very invested in that. And this year, I think, will be my 28th Mackinac Conference. Wow. I know you've been to a ton of them as well.
Absolutely.
But if you look at what's happening in this town in every area, it's exciting. And I just, you know, nobody ever went to Cleveland to record an album. Come on. You know, the voice of this town is unbelievable.
Absolutely. You're right about that. You know, one of the things here at WJR that we talk about all the time is the future of broadcasting, radio and TV. And we think that part of the future, a big part of the future, is being local. And being involved in everything you can possibly be involved in the Detroit and surrounding community. What are your thoughts about the future of broadcasting and being local, Rich Hamburg?
Well, it's complex, there's no doubt. And I think people have more choices today than ever. So
right.
You better know what business you're in, as they say, you know. And I think to own the narrative. We talk about how do you drive the conversation if you're a media organization. People move in tribes today. There's Marcus Collins, University of Michigan professor, wrote a spectacular book called For the Culture. It's about understanding a tribe. It's about understanding a community. It's about being the voice of that, and it's about playing into that. And so what that means is it's changed the nature of everything we do, right? And so you better be pretty precise in what you do. But I love the challenge. You know, we were lucky. You and I were both very lucky to grow up in a spectacular business that was pretty well mapped out.
Yes.
And today we're reinventing ourselves.
You're absolutely right about that. Now, when do you come to the neighborhood? When are you actually moving in? How's this going to work?
Well, we're pretty careful with money.
Okay.
It's a $30 million project.
Wow.
We had $10 million from the sale of our building to buy the land. And so think of it as 10, 10, and 10. We raise effectively that second 10, and then we break ground and build a building. And our hope would be that the fall of 26, we would be moving in to the new location. Sooner if your listeners will help, but that's the hope, is that we break ground in January, build it out about 18 months and or a little more, and then fall of 26, hopefully we are moving in, and I'm calling you and Paul for lunch.
Oh, absolutely. We'll take you to lunch. As you point out, Rich Homburg, you're coming into a very hot spot, a big hot spot in town, and there's going to be a lot going on here in 2026.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I was just looking at what Henry Ford and Michigan State are doing and proposing, but, you know, all think about Woodward and how it has changed over the years. You know, our future neighbor, your neighborhood was very fashionable a long time ago.
That's right.
And then met some challenges along the way. And then step by step, think of Campus Martius and think about, Mike Ilitch and Peter Karmanos coming into town, and what Dan Gilbert has done. But then think of the great leadership we have. Don't forget, Dennis Archer helped reimagine Campus Martius.
Yes, and he did.
From those moments on, what's occurred is just magnificent. But there are pockets of Detroit that are still developing. And I think what excites us about Milwaukee Junction is feels like that next community, and the energy of the folks we met is just spectacular. But it's great to see Wayne State is headed in a very good direction. Michigan and Michigan State are more committed to the city of Detroit than ever. So that's exciting.
And finally, Rich Homburg, how can our listeners help Detroit Public TV?
Well, start with being viewers, but also let us know what we need to know, right? Don't be bashful. I get the best part of my job is when someone calls and says, "Here's what you don't understand, my friend." So we'd like you to be viewers. We'd like you to be members. We'd love to pull folks into supporting the building. But it really does all start with we're what's called a community licensee. We're think about this. We're a nonprofit television station. That's very unique. We're the only one in Detroit. We're the only locally owned television station in Detroit. And our assignment is to serve, to do the things the other guys don't do. So I think you have enough weather, and I think you have enough coverage of sports and the, crisis du jour. What if the public television station said, let's bring the community together and take on issues of health and wellness, issues of education, issues of history? I'm very excited about the next couple of years. Is we're going to spend an awful lot of time thinking about American history and rethinking it as we head into the 250th anniversary of our country. It's not a perfect history, but that's okay. How about if we all take a minute to understand each other? And that's going to be a very exciting project.
Rich Homburg, Detroit PBS President and CEO, thank you so much for your time today. It was really great talking to you.
Tell all my friends I said hello.
I absolutely will. I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit, and enjoy the rest of your day.